You are Locked On Steelers, your daily Pittsburgh Steelers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Thursday, November 12th, and today we're going to give you a brief update on the Steelers news before we get into our crossover Thursday. The Steelers' first injury report was provided up for the week, which means we've got a better sense of who's available. All that in the first segment. Then it's James Rapine of Locked On Bengals, and we're going to catch up with him for, of course, our regular crossover Thursday segment, where I ask him questions and he asks me questions in the final 2 seconds. Today's episode is brought to you by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. I like to watch this season when I'm going over game footage to see how TJ Watt gets a lot of his sacks. When I do, I like to drink a nice cold Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through your game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Let's get into it. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Let's get to the news of the day before we get to crossover Thursday. Now, we got an interesting episode with that. It's our buddy James Rapine from the Locked On Bengals podcast. But before we get to that, we got to talk about the Steelers injury report because there's kind of some good news there. And we've seen the return of 2 and maybe even 3 Steelers that we've been waiting to hear this from. And that's Mike Hilton, Derek Watt, and Tyson Alualu. Now, Mike Hilton, of course, missed the past 2.5-ish games with his shoulder injury. He was a full practice on Wednesday, a very good sign that he's going to be back and ready to go. And Derek Watt, same thing, full practice. We haven't seen him pretty much all season. Him being back might help the run game that we've been talking about needing to get going lately. And him being at fullback, that's a lead blocker for James Conner. Also, he would be a key contributor on special teams where we saw the Steelers struggle a lot last week. So, two guys that you like to see back there. But also, we got a glimpse of hope for Tyson Alualu. He was limited in practice with his knee injury. Again, it's Wednesday. Wednesday is the, if you don't practice here, it's still not a major concern. For example, this week, Juju Smith-Schuster again didn't practice on Wednesday with his knee injury, but we've seen him do this for the past several weeks and then come back and be fine on Thursday and Friday. Now, Isaiah Bugs didn't practice with his ankle injury. That's something we do want to monitor because we got to see where he's at. I do think that he'll be ready to go. He probably is going to try to do whatever he can to be on the field because he knows really the Steelers, he's not exactly on the Steelers can't cut list. He's on the, he's a depth guy. He played a little bit well in the second half against the Ravens, but he did not play well against the Cowboys. And I think that that's going to be something that he knows he needs to rebound from. Let's see how that goes out. But everyone else that didn't practice, purely a non-injury concern. Stephon Tuitt, Eric Ebron, Alejandro Villanueva, David DeCastro, Marquise Pouncey, all those guys didn't practice, but for non-injury related reasons. I think this is a very good injury report to start a week. Mike Hilton would really help in this team's run defense and covering things underneath. I think he's going to be vital against these Bengals. If he's healthy, he's a guy that can go up against Giovanni Bernard and Joe Mixon out of the backfield. The Bengals haven't even really used their tight ends this year, so size won't even be an issue. He could really be a huge piece to helping confuse Joe Burrow, especially because he hasn't been around the last few weeks. So if the Ravens are using the tape from the past few games to exploit the Steelers, it's not going to have Mike Hilton on tape. So do consider that. And also Derek Watt not being there means that, they're not going to have a whole lot of tape on how the rushing offense works with a fullback in charge, especially a good fullback like Derek Watt. So I like this injury report. The big thing, of course, everyone's still going to wonder about is, will Ben Roethlisberger play? And I'll tell you this right now. If Ben Roethlisberger tests negative all the entire week, as we expect him to do, he's going to play in this game. He knows this offense. This offense was built for him. I talked to Dean Iampietro about this just yesterday. In our talks, it's obvious Ben can come out and just throw for 400 yards with the team. I mean, do you remember, 2-3 years ago when it was Landry Jones up against the Browns, and Ben wasn't even supposed to play, and then they knocked Landry Jones out of the game, and then Ben came in and beat them anyways. And it's just that's what he does. He's good at this. He's comfortable with this. I think he's going to be just fine working the system. So, all in all, with all the bumps and bruises the Steelers have had to survive early in the season, guys, I think they're in a good spot. I don't want to jinx anything, but barring anything crazy happening over Thursday and Friday, we could be looking at the most full the Steelers roster has been really since never, because, you know, start of the season they were missing a few people. So keep an eye on that. We'll be keeping you updated tomorrow when we have Jenna Harner on for the for our Friday episode. But all's looking good here on the injury front for the Steelers as they get ready to take on the Cincinnati Bengals for the first home game the team has had in a month. We're going to throw it to a quick break. When we come back, it's Crossover Thursday time. We'll start with James Rapine, and he'll be asking me questions. I'll be asking him questions. All that after this. But first, we got a word from our friends at Pepsi and DoorDash. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Sometimes I like to watch this season with a cold Pepsi when Ben Roethlisberger is throwing one of those touchdowns that he's thrown several times this year. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. If you're like me, you're always busy or you don't feel like leaving your house, so you want to order food. Well, the easiest way to order food is with our sponsor, DoorDash. You've counted on restaurants, now they're counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed or limited, they're always still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with a new contactless delivery drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON, locked on. Again, that's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order of DoorDash when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON.
Welcome in to another Crossover Thursday. It's Steelers week, if you're listening to Locked On Bengals, and it is Bengals week, which I don't even know if is that a thing, Chris? Is that a thing in Pittsburgh, Bengals week?
It's still a thing. It's still a thing. I mean, they're still division rivals. Even with the Bengals going through their struggles, Steelers fans, I mean, the old Vontez Burfict wanting to fight Vince Williams at the 50-yard line, that stuff does not go away easily.
Yeah, okay, so it's a rivalry game. Obviously, the Steelers, they've won 10 straight regular season games in this matchup, which is the most in the history of the rivalry. And you just heard Christopher Carter from Locked On Steelers as part of our Crossover Thursday. And let's dive into it. Look, I don't think anyone expected this Steelers team to be undefeated halfway through the season, yet here we are. Admittedly, I haven't watched the Steelers extremely close. I've been dealing with a lot in Cincinnati, plenty to watch with Joe Burrow and company. Why are they 8-0? What's the biggest thing, one or two things that stand out? Because I think a lot of people think defense, but there's got to be more to it.
It's the balance, James. I'm telling you, man, and this is what I was saying last year or during the offseason, was that if Ben came back, he didn't have to be, you know, 5,000-yard Ben. He just had to be efficient, take what's there and capitalize on it. And you can see that in their yardage. I think they're 25th in total yards on offense, but they're in the top five in scoring. And it's because when the defense gives them a short field, they take advantage of it. When they get a good situation or when the game's on the line, you see the offense come alive. And it's come alive in different ways. Early on in the season, it was the running game, you know, pounding the Texans, pounding the Browns, making sure, like, hey, it's the fourth quarter. And Ben Roethlisberger even said there was at one point when he was handing the ball off to James Conner, he's like, I felt like I was handing it to Jerome Bettis because I didn't have to do anything. And then when the running game started to go away, we've seen the past 2 weeks, Ben Roethlisberger stepped up and the passing game kicked in, and the balance at wide receiver. 1 week is Chase Claypool. 1 week is Juju Smith-Schuster. 1 week is Deontay Johnson. And then Eric Ebron and James Washington are getting into it last week. And then, of course, when the offense struggles, the defense comes into play. They stuff the run. And when the run doesn't work, then the coverage comes into play. It's everyone sort of sticking up for each other when one group fails. And that's been what's tough to nail down about this team, is that, like, against the Cowboys, against the Titans, against the Ravens, all extremely close games that went down to the wire. But what happened when one part of the team started faltering, another team part of the team figured out answers. And in every department, there are really good players that are providing serious challenges to opponents. I think that's the biggest reason why they're here right now.
And I think it's funny you say that. I've said it multiple times this week that the Steelers can beat you in a variety of ways. And I was specifically talking about the offense. And that's the thing. Coming into this year, everyone knew about Minka. Everyone knows about T.J. Watt and that defense and Bud Dupree and all those guys. But this offense, I was like, I looked at the group of skilled players, and I knew Deontay Johnson. There was some hope for him in fantasy football circles, and he had flashed at times last year. But I'm looking, and I'm like, okay, Juju's a slot receiver. Deontay Johnson's unproven. Chase Claypool, unproven. James Washington, Not a bust, but just a guy. Yeah. And yet here we are again. Ben, who has clearly went to another stage of his career, isn't the guy we saw a decade ago, let's say. But he has really good skill players. And while there might not be the stars, you know, the Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bells, it feels like they are really deep. Are you surprised by that, by this wide receiver group and how well they've played and how much Chase Claypool has had an impact early on?
I am surprised by Chase Claypool because I thought that Juju Smith-Schuster was going to have a good rebound year, which he has. He hasn't dropped a pass all season. He leads the team in receiving yards. He's playing really well. And whenever he's called upon in a big situation, he's risen to the challenge. And then Deontay Johnson, you see there's a couple times where his chemistry isn't there with Ben. Like, well, he looks to the wrong shoulder when Ben's throwing to him, and they kind of like, what was that? But then they still get their points. They still get their yards when necessary. James Washington, last year he led the team in receiving. This year, it's obvious he's the fourth wheel, but he's okay with it. And when he's been called upon, it's been for big plays. He caught a touchdown against the Cowboys, but he caught a touchdown against the Browns that broke the game open. He isn't called upon that often, but he's there fighting through every play. And that's the thing, is depth. And with Chase Claypool, I mean, who knew that this was going to be like this? Now, the Steelers seem to know because Joe Hayden, on the first day of training camp, he tweeted out, okay, that kid's going to be a problem. And he said that, and Steeler Nation, got excited. I'm sitting here like, whoa, wait a second. I've been through the song and dance of training camp and superstars in training camp for years. I want to see it myself. And of course, we couldn't see it because COVID, no preseason, all that stuff. But then when he came out and started making plays, he caught that first bomb against the Broncos. I was like, oh, okay, kid. And then again, he's not Mike Wallace. He's not just going deep and catching slants. The teams are starting to put their top cornerbacks on him. The Eagles put Darius Slay on him. And he was just like – and Darius Slay tried to press him on a third down. He slapped his hands down, beat him with a quick juke, and then caught a ball for the third down and fought through him trying to strip the ball out. He's still very young. He still has a lot of things to learn. But Claypool has been so good at learning the playbook. They line him out in the flanker, the split end, the slot, the X. They're moving him around, and he knows what he's doing, and Ben seems to trust him. That is the surprising part of this, because now the Steelers have their deep threat and he helps underneath, and they even work him in the jet sweep game, which is something they used to never do. But that's Matt Canada, the quarterback coach, guy that came over from – he was the interim head coach at Maryland, and he was the offensive coordinator for Pitt back in 2016 when they took down Clemson in a major upset when they had Deshaun Watson. And that was the style of offense he had, you know, could keep the defense guessing, run the jet sweep, run the fake jet sweep to get your running back some yards. And ironically, it was James Conner who was his running back back then. So it, it's it's that balance in the receiving core that makes it so hard to top. And we were talking, I think it was up until week five, the Steelers had a different leading receiver every single week. And it was by design. I think it was because, like, there were sometimes, like, there was against, I think it was against the Browns, Ben was, like, forcing the ball to James Washington. And then the next week he's giving the ball to Juju. And the next week he's going to Claypool. And I think it's a point to saying, hey, you cannot lock in on any one receiver that the Steelers have right now. I think that's the answer to what's made the passing game successful.
It's certainly surprising with these skill players and the way they've played. I want to ask you about Ben, and that's Chris Carter, Locked On Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger comes into this year, obviously off of injury, says he wants to play for a few more years. He's 38 years old. How is he playing? How would you evaluate him? Because 8-0 is great, but obviously, heck, in Pittsburgh, it's always about playoffs and what they do in the playoffs. But right now, how is he playing, and do you think he can still be that guy to put the team on his back when he needs to, when it matters most?
I think he's playing extremely efficient, and this is what I was saying where he might go this season, because you look at his numbers. He's not throwing out of the window. He's not 500-yard passing games, but he protects the ball for the Steelers, and he puts the ball in the end zone when they need him to. I think he has 15 touchdowns this year, maybe 4 interceptions. That touchdown interception ratio, he's rarely gotten it to separate that much in his career. And part of this is what he said he was going through in the offseason, and what people said. You know, Deontay Johnson said, this guy's different from last year. He talks differently. He's talked more about his Christian faith. He's talked about how he needs to see the game better, and how last year taking off gave him more time to think about what he needs to do better as a leader. And you've seen that from him. You've seen him, even just talking to him in press conferences, he seems more open to answering all his questions and not necessarily giving you some sarcastic snark back at you. I think he's realized the things that were holding him back were sometimes self-inflicted, and he's moved on from that. And I think that's the biggest thing that's changed, because now, when you're going to a game, like you said, a lot of the times when the Steelers were in trouble, it was like, well, Antonio Brown's somewhere over there, get it to him. But now it's more so like, hey, we're looking for this matchup. Against the Titans, two of those interceptions he threw were because he threw it towards Juju, where he thought he had him on a linebacker, and then it was just a really good play by the Titans defense. And that was his only multiple interception game this season. But every other game, there's very few instances where you could say, hey, that was a horrible throw right into the coverage that should have been picked off. Most of the plays, if it's a misfire, it's usually overthrown or underthrown to protect the football. I think that's the big thing, is that he understands he can't afford to hurt this team, and he knows he doesn't have to do it all because he has a great defense behind him. He has a running game that can get active and can just close out football games. And he has receivers that he trusts that, hey, if I get you this quick pass underneath, you can go get some big plays. I mean, we saw Juju Smith-Schuster running over Marlon Humphrey for first downs against the Ravens. Deontay Johnson, he's had multiple touchdown games. Eric Ebron coming up big the last 2 weeks. I think that's his confidence and saying, hey, I don't have to be Superman. I just gotta manage and be the field general. And that's where I think you've seen the biggest difference.
All right, Chris, last thing for me. Obviously, the Steelers are undefeated. They're 9-point favorites, last I checked, over the Bengals on Sunday. If you were drawing up a game plan to beat the team you cover, what would you do? What would you employ specifically for the Bengals? If you're Zach Taylor, what's your game plan this week to try to pull off arguably the biggest upset in the NFL this season?
It would be the biggest upset in the NFL this season. I would trust Joe Burrow. I'd come in and say, Joe, here's our plan. Here's the schemes that we know that they jumped to a lot this year. They're going to come out. I need you to dink and dunk this defense to death. I need you to stay patient. Wait for your shot. Don't take that deep shot too early, because that's what they have Minka Fitzpatrick for. He plays back a lot. He tries to keep things contained over top. But oftentimes, the Steelers will give you that soft coverage look where you can hit Tyler Boyd, hit A.J. Green, hit Giovanni Bernard or Joe Mixon underneath, whoever does end up playing in this game. And keep working at this defense at those soft spots. Be patient. And then when you're doing that, then you'll find the answers. Because if you find the answers, You'll be able to be consistent. You'll be able to challenge the defense more. And then that'll be what frustrates the Steelers defense. And then you can start to run the ball a little bit more. That's what broke open the Cowboys rushing game really last week, was that they didn't expect Garrett Gilbert to hit so many underneath passes and to keep drives alive. Now, granted, again, they only scored one touchdown, but Garrett Gilbert, Joe Burrow, he could do more than that. So there's that. And then defensively, stuff to run. Keep the stuff to run and keep the big plays limited. Now the Steelers' offensive line has not played well the past 2 weeks. My personal opinion, they are gassed. They played three straight road games. They played three straight big games, and they need to kind of get themselves together. Last game against the Cowboys, I saw David DeCastro, of all people, David DeCastro, coming out his block, his stance late, coming up high. If I'm the Bengals, I circle that and I say, D-line, get up in these guys. Be physical from start to finish. Tire them out and then force Ben Roethlisberger to beat you. And when it is Jesse Bates, that's when you got to come through with the big play. So offensively, dink and dunk. Stay patient, Joe Burrow, and wait for the big shot. Defensively, stuff the run. Be physical. Be hard-hitting. Challenge the Steelers' offense. And don't give up the big play, because when you start giving up big plays to Chase Claypool and Juju, that's when this offense is like, okay, now we're going to torch you all these different ways.
I think Bengals fans liked hearing that. I think after hearing you, Chris Carter, Locked On Steelers host, say that, they're like, all right, this is doable. We can do it. I don't know if it's the case, but I certainly appreciate you breaking it down, man. Thanks for hopping on.
Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Whether it's a mental or a physical wall, you can break through it with Go every day. It's easy to take in just 1.5 ounce packages. You can put the package in your briefcase for your most focused presentation ever, your golf bag to help you power through the back nine, or just put it in your pocket to help you get through the day or through your workout. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling in the end. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink, but with a third of the caffeine and better results. And it comes in 3 delicious flavors: peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Built Go combines energy gel with protein, and that protein is fast absorbing to get into your system fast. Plus, it's easier on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite my workout: beta alanine, B3, honey, and just a little kick of caffeine. And Built Go then kicks in to keep me going strong. It's got B6 and B12. And Built Go helps you get healthier joints, soft tissue, hair, and skin. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use their code LOCKED. That's LOCKED, LOCKED. And you'll get 30% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED, 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 for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go.
It's time for the Steelers to ask the Bengals their questions. I'm Chris Carter from Locked On Steelers. He's James Rapine from Locked On Bengals. And it's Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. James, we got to talk about these Bengals, man, because you may not feel it in Cincinnati. The Bengals fans may not feel this way, but Steelers fans are a little nervous because they just struggled against the Cowboys. Yes, they're undefeated, but they're hurt up. Of course, Ben Roethlisberger's on the COVID-19 list. Everyone has been – the sky is falling panic list. Thinking like, oh my gosh, is Mason Rudolph going to have to start again? Oh no. But everyone's been looking for what's the trap game that's going to trip up the Steelers. What's the game where they're finally going to lose this season after being 8-0. And some people think with the way that Joe Burrow's playing, the Bengals, they upset the Titans not too long ago. I think that a lot of people say, hey, this could be the trap game for them. I wanted to get a sense from you. What has made Joe Burrow successful early on with this Bengals offense?
Oh, a lot of factors. First, Joe Burrow. Let's start with him. He's just beyond his years. I know training camp day one is the first day in training in pads, and we're there and we're covering it, and they start a little 11-on-11, and Joe's making checks at the line. It's the first day. You've known AJ Green for about 7 minutes in person, right? He hadn't met a lot of these guys. He's talking like we are. For months on Zoom calls. So that was the first thing, the first indicator. And we saw more of that throughout training camp. And then week one, his first touchdown was an audible. He went to a quarterback draw at the line and ran it for like 23 yards and a touchdown against the Chargers. And that's what we've seen, is the mental side of things. He just understands the game, knows the checks he needs to make, and it has such a good feel for football. And it sounds really simple, but it's something that can't be taught. You mentioned the upset against the Titans. He found Tyler Boyd on a throw where Tyler was just covered up, but he knew and trusted that Boyd was going to get free and come back. So he throws this ball, and I don't know if you saw it, but Boyd's back is turned, and Boyd turns and the ball is on his face. And he catches it, and it was a huge third down play. And so the anticipation, the feel, the accuracy, all of those things have led to this. And he is a leader. He was elected or voted team captain, one of the captains on offense. The guys in the locker room look to him, and he's the face of the franchise right now. And I wouldn't give him all the credit, because I do think the coaching staff, specifically the past 3 weeks, they've done a good job of putting him in positions to win, despite having a below-average offensive line, despite their number one receiver in A.J. Green not being that anymore, at least through 8 games. And so, yeah, he's played phenomenal. And I think that the Bengals, the reason they're so hopeful for the remainder of this year to win and potentially upset the Steelers and push forward, is because of Joe Burrow.
It's absolutely Joe Burrow. But I've also seen a changing or a recognizing of, hey, we can work the running back into the game a little bit different. Early on in the season, you know, Joe Mixon was more of just running the ball. But now they're kicking the ball to him in the air. And then even with Joe Mixon being hurt, Giovanni Bernard, he's had a couple of receiving touchdowns. Do you think that that's going to be a main, like something that Joe Burrow will be able to keep to be part of the offense moving forward? Because, listen, I own Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard in fantasy football. I need that to keep happening. But in all seriousness, I think that's one thing that the Bengals have, is two athletic running backs that if you kick the ball to them, they can keep drives alive for you and make it so, hey, Joe, you don't got to make that tight throw to Tyler Boyd in the double coverage. You know, it may be amazing, but here's 5 or 6 free yards you can get to make it 2nd and 4 or 2nd and 3 or whatever.
And that's the thing with Burrow, is he has been patient. I mean, for – I think it was the first 4 weeks, five weeks, they couldn't hit a ball downfield. They could not complete the big ball. And then he hit T. Higgins for, I believe it was a 67-yarder against the Colts in week 6. But he was patient, and he was taking hits, more hits than you'd like. And I agree with you. I think they need – it shouldn't be a will they. It should be, well, they need to implement the offense that we've seen in recent weeks with Gio, where Bernard is moving all over the formation, and he's motioning out as a receiver or back into the backfield as a running back, involved in the passing game, motioning pre-snap, and really making it hard on a defense to diagnose exactly what they're doing. And, yeah, using him in the passing game has opened things up for everybody else. And so that should be the case with Joe Mixon. And that's kind of the debate here that I've had on a couple shows that I've done recently. Is Joe Mixon, is this offense better with him? He's obviously a great talent, but the coaching staff doesn't use him the same way they use Gio. And Gio's a better pass blocker. And so on passing downs, it's Bernard in there anyways. And I think that if you're Mixon, if you can become that pass blocker, well, then they can use you in the same ways, because he can catch the ball out of the backfield and he can make big plays in the passing game. And I think that's kind of the key. Look, you might not have a real true number one wide receiver. Like if I'm the Steelers, maybe it's Tyler Boyd, and probably it is, but he's still not a guy that's going to beat you over the top.
Right.
And so you need another threat. And I think Joe Mixon is arguably the best offensive player outside of Burrow, of course, on this team. So yes, you got to get him involved. And I do, we'll know more, but I do think he's going to be able to suit up this week. But if not, you know, Giovanni Bernard is certainly capable.
I got to ask about the defense, because we saw the unfortunate way that Carlos Dunlap kind of broke up with the team. You saw frustration there, and, you know, he went to the Seahawks. But who has kind of stepped up this year for the defense? Now, obviously, the answer there should be Jesse Bates. So I'm giving you a softball there. But I wanted to get a sense from different parts of the defense. where are the places that the Bengals should be confident about where they can work, and where are the places where they're like, I don't know. I kind of hope that people don't go after this guy or that guy.
Well, the two guys that if I'm the Steelers, I circle and want to prevent from doing damage. You mentioned one, Jesse Bates, right? Just don't throw it near him. This dude, he can cover a lot of ground. He's a big hitter. That's the thing. I think he has some missed tackles here and there, but he'll deliver big hits, and people don't realize that. And then the other guy is Carl Lawson. And, you know, you could double Carl Lawson at times, but he's really their only consistent edge rusher. And Sam Hubbard could come back this week. They designated him to return. So that could be a huge get ahead of this matchup. But those are the two guys. And outside of that, Chris, there isn't anyone. And that's the problem, is Geno Atkins dealt with the shoulder injury that he suffered in camp, still kind of dealing with that. He's playing through it, playing on third downs, but he just doesn't look like himself. And you do wonder about that injury, even though he is playing, and he's playing a limited number of snaps right now. They're playing interior guys like Mike Daniels is back, a veteran who's a solid interior defender. But you were hoping he would be your third guy behind DJ Reader, who's out for the season with a quad injury, in Geno Atkins. And now he's vaulted into a more prominent role. They signed Marcus Hunt, who is on the COVID-19 list, and we'll see with him. So it's been a mismatch of guys because of the injuries. Geno's missed time. Mike Daniels has missed time. Reader's out for the year. The linebacking unit is young. That's what they are. They're young. And if I'm the Steelers, that's an area I'm targeting, because Logan Wilson has shown flashes. Akeem Davis-Gaither has shown flashes, but they are young. Jermaine Pratt, to me, hasn't taken a step forward in year two like I think the Bengals had hoped. And Josh Bynes, who is a solid player, is a veteran. And, you know, he's not going to knock your socks off by any stretch, even though he is a leader on that defense. And then as far as corner goes, and I probably should have mentioned him earlier, William Jackson III, outside of week two against Odell Beckham Jr., when he was on an island against him, and you know how Beckham is in national spotlight, he's going to show up, and he did, and he beat Jackson a couple of times. Outside of that, he's had a really good year. So I think the Bengals could feel confident in whoever he's guarding. But the opposite corner, it depends. You know, is it Darius Phillips? Is it going to be LaShawn Sims? Mackenzie Alexander was placed. He's the starting nickel corner on the COVID reserve list. But he apparently does not have COVID. We'll see if that's still the case a couple of days from now. So there could be a weakness there. And then Von Bell, coming off of his best game, and I know I'm going through the whole secondary here. Coming through coming away with his best game, or came off his best game against the Titans, and he should have had an interception. It was negated due to a penalty, had a bunch of big plays, has been underwhelming for the most part. And I like Von Bell, and I think he's a good addition to this defense. But that's a guy you hope, whatever you saw against Tennessee, that continues, because at times he's been a liability in coverage. And you don't want a guy you're paying $6 million per season to be that. So it's a lot of injuries to a defense that I thought was going to be pretty good this year. And instead, they've shown flashes of being okay, but certainly beatable. And I wouldn't really, if I'm the Steelers offense, expect anything to really get in our way going into this matchup. I think that they should be able to do whatever they want, whether it's run it or throw it.
I hear you, what you're saying there. So basically, my last question was going to be the same thing that you asked: what are the ways the Steelers should attack the Bengals? But you kind of did that for the defense. But okay, let's ask it this way: what's the best way to stop Joe Burrow and Joe Mixon in this offense? Because I think that's the biggest threat to the Steelers is if the defense is a little tired. You know, the team's going through COVID quarantines. They're doing virtual meetings all this week. Everyone's questioning things. And, you know, maybe they get back Mike Hilton this week, who's been a big part of their defense, and all these other things. Maybe all that's going to go on. But what are the things the Steelers have to do to keep Joe Burrow bottled up and to keep the running game for the Bengals getting active?
It's interesting because you mentioned that the Bengals game plan should be dink and dunk and be patient. It absolutely should. And if I'm the Steelers, I'm doing everything I can to prevent that. I would go one-on-one with every single receiver across the board and let Minka roam. And I would say, beat us over the top, because TJ Watt is going to get to Burrow before your receivers get open, because you don't have a true one. You don't have that speed. And, yeah, T. Higgins might make a play here or there. Tyler Boyd's going to get his anyways. But beat us over the top for the big one. And if you can't do that, then we're going to win and we're going to stop the run and we're going to do that. So that's what I would do, is I would really try to take away the intermediate stuff. And look, there's going to be little dump offs and things like that. But if you could take away the intermediate routes and the intermediate, you know, 11 to 18, 19 yard plays, this offense becomes much, much different. And I don't know if this offensive line, one, who they're going to have out there right now because of COVID and injuries and things like that. Two, even if they had everybody out there, even if they were given a sixth offensive lineman, are you going to be able to, you know, stop TJ Watt, Bud Dupree in that pass rush? I think it's much easier said than done. So that would be kind of my mindset. Okay, Joe, you're great, right? Number one pick, throw it 50 yards and throw it downfield. And if you can't do that or don't have the weapons to do that or the line, well, then we're going to get to you.
All right. I hear that player right there. That's me from Locked On Bengals podcast. Thanks for doing this, James. It's always fun doing crossover Thursdays, and we're looking forward to an exciting game on Sunday. James, can you let people know where they can follow you find more of your work?
Oh, yeah. At James Rapine on Twitter. And then the Locked On Bengals podcast each and every day. I cover the Bengals. That's the easiest way to find all my work.
And, of course, I'm Chris Carter, at Carter Critiques on Twitter. I work for DKPittsburghSports.com, host the Locked On Steelers podcast. And, hey, Steelers fans, help James out. Go on their Apple podcast page. Leave them a five-star review with a positive comment. Bengals fans, do the same for us. Let's give some AFC North love right there. Help each other out. Get our ratings up. That's what it does. I think we have some really great conversations in this AFC North group. You've got James, you've got Kevin, Jeff. I almost said Lloyd. I was like, that's not his first name. But we've got a lot. We got, and Jake as well, who's James's co-host. We've got a lot of great people in this group. Let's help each other out with those ratings. Thanks again, James. We'll be back in your ears tomorrow, Friday, getting you ready for this game.